Hey, audio listeners, some of the things here don't make sense when you're listening because there's a lot of clips with people speaking. I believe it's Asian. I don't know what variety. I should really just go by the clip says what they're, but they're not speaking English, so we do it with subtitles, and I don't have time to read all the subtitles. So listen, you may want to go over, watch it there on Mug Club, and of course, LatterWithCrowder.com/tour. We've just announced our fall tour, six cities. I know Phoenix, Houston, Baltimore, West Virginia, New York City, Nashville, I think. If not, leave a rating. If not, you're a cheap bastard.
This fall, six cities. Prepare for two Rebels with a Cause. Charleston, Nashville, New York, Baltimore. The Rebels with a Cause Comedy Tour. Tickets on sale now at LatterWithCrowder.com/tour.
It's June, which marks Louder with Crowder's seventh annual Cultural Appropriation Month, where we take you across the globe, learning about and appreciating all the diverse cultures this planet has to offer. This week, it is our pleasure to take you on a life-changing journey to the productive land of pineapple cakes, the Pingji Sky Lantern Festival, and John Cena! It's the prototype himself! John Cena, ladies and gentlemen! No way!
Nihao. Shaga Shinchi, Hondoran, Gaussian War, Jongoran, Zwei Shiman, Freestyle Rap.
Han Han Bao Chen, De Wada Zuo Wu.
I want to buy mooncakes for Zhong Qiujian. I think Yinchuan's a pretty fun place. Like, I think I'm in a fun place. I think I'm right here in a fun place.
What the means of John Cena? Nibu Kandao.
Mean?
I believe it means you can't see him, but you can.
I know you can.
Do you just keep moving your hand fast enough? You can see between the hand. It's what? No, just do this.
You know what? Just kick him in the groin.
You know what else is? My shoulder is has a lactic acid buildup.
That's why he has shoulders that are.
This is a great way to start the show with rhabdomyolysis.
There you go. A little smoke-filled room.
Yeah. You know, look, we all hate John Cena.
Mm-hmm. Love,
even though he's all natural. I did my own research on this. There's no real origin story to this. There's none.
It just started one day?
Well, you look at one source says, this means my moves are so fast you won't see them coming. But then I read an interview with John Cena. He just said, I was listening to G-Unit like a douche. And his brother said, you look stupid. He was like, yeah, I'll do this on air, bro. He was like, I bet you won't. He was like, I bet I will. And then, bam, 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 bam.
Really? That's the story?
This is the world we live in where that's popular?
Wow, dude.
Exactly.
Somebody slapped him. I hope he's his own next Make-A-Wish.
Yes.
Can we
see the Ronald McCena house? This is, he just has, he's just bald. Well, John Cena has progeria, so.
Aww.
Well,
Johnny Boy.
All right, we have a lot to get to today. Of course, it's Cultural Appropriation Month, Taiwan. You send in your costumes. We will be taking the winners on Mug Club. We'll be talking about a lot here today. I don't know if you know about this. It just so happens to coincide. China has a new military decree, which involves Taiwan, which involves all of your chipsets. Eileen Gu, remember that
that broad
who she decided to ski for China? Well, now she wants to ski for the United States again.
What?
Oh.
Nope. Yeah.
There's open border policies now that are real. Look, you were mad about 40 million to the Ukraine, 40 billion, sorry. You'd be really mad about the 350 million to house refugees in other countries.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. And then this is something I really wanted to talk about. The you know, you have the Fed just increased interest rates. Do you expect another housing crash? A lot of people have been asking. It's not going to look like 2008, but there is going to be a correction. We definitely have some issues that we're running into. Also, Tim the Toolman or Casey can turn on the cigar fan because, boy, it is not healthy to breathe. No. So you guys can comment below if you see another housing crash coming up. And here we have him, fastest man on his feet. Going to be with me, letterwithcrowder.com/tour, fall tour, Phoenix, Houston, Charleston, West Virginia, Nashville, Red Bank, because New York City wouldn't have us, and then Baltimore.
Oh, yeah.
Which, by the way, tickets are on sale in Baltimore. We got a lot of people complaining they weren't available until last night.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They just saw that. Didn't get them going. So.
How are you doing there, Dave?
Ahoy, I'm good.
Good.
I'm Cy Nguyen Yang.
Yes.
David Foster Wallace.
Yes.
I own a lesbian bookstore that only sells Virginia Woolf.
Yes. Ah. And host Drag Queen Story Hour.
Yes, indeed.
Incredibly popular store.
Everyone sit around.
Then we have Gerald here, the best man. How are you, sir?
I am well, other than not being accepted to Harvard because I'm Asian.
That's it?
That's it. That's
really phoning that one in.
Costume.
Why is your Harvard shirt like a toga?
He didn't have to wear it like that.
No, he didn't. He chose to wear it like that.
We watched him take the sleeves off.
That's just because we wouldn't allow him to wear it tied up like David Alan Greer.
Yeah, we're like, we have to read the Harvard.
It's better for airflow.
And then we've got hazmat suit. Oh, Casey is Ang Lee's. Ang Lee's the Hulk?
Yeah.
Because he's Taiwanese?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Not a stretch at all.
Yeah, not a stretch. There's only so much in Taiwan. It's really an island. And then, Tokunawa is just something. Are you Raiden?
Pineapple farmer.
I hope your costumes are better, folks.
He's hurting his father.
Yes. But it is Cultural Appropriation Month, and to appropriate is to appreciate. So we always want to teach you, right? Every Cultural Appropriation Month, every Thursday.
Yeah.
So it's time to get some key facts regarding Taiwan.
I wonder what he was saying. It sounded pretty.
By the way, that's their top 1 through 40. It's all
that
song. Oh,
yeah. It's just one song.
What's number 2? What's number 4?
There's subtle differences. Yeah.
They're on the top, give me an extra 100.
Yes. Yeah. All right. So we have to decide if these are fact or fiction because we realize some of you folks weren't paying attention to the Cultural Appropriation Month facts. So Tokunawan, let's give us some. And some of these are real. Some of these are not.
Right. And yeah, that's you and Gerald. Your job is to figure out which ones are which. Not Dave because he helped us write these.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good when it comes to facts.
I was gonna be good at this then. Why'd you do that?
All right. Give it to us, Tokunawan. Taiwan.
Okay,
fact.
So first off, we got 1/6 of all screws are made in Taiwan.
Okay. You want us to guess?
We have to guess, yeah.
In real time? That's a fact, yeah.
Okay.
I don't think so.
No?
No, I don't think that's a fact.
What is it?
The answer is fact.
Oh, come
on. There you go. It's a fact. All right. Yeah. Okay, give us fact number 2. Yeah, see, I knew that.
All right, number 2, the most common surname in Taiwan is Dong.
No, that can't be a fact. That's racist.
That's got to be true.
No.
True.
What's the answer?
Steven is right.
Oh,
yeah,
come on.
I was right.
It is not Dong. It is actually Chen.
Yep, we just have racist writers.
Dong is actually number 2.
Also racist. Dong is actually the currency name in Vietnam.
No, really?
Kidding. That's 100% true.
Wow.
The Dongs. I had a lot of Dongs when I was over there. That sounds terrible. Why did I say that?
The Viet Dongs are coming.
I meant money.
I have millions of dongs. This is guerrilla warfare.
They're the largest dong they've ever seen. $100,000 notes.
If you don't give me 5 billion dongs.
Sorry?
It's the Dong Show. I don't think that's just it's just pornography. All right, give us another one, Tokunawa.
Number 3, no Taiwanese believe that John Cena is, in fact, real.
I'm going to say that's true. That's because that's more reciprocity.
No, I'm going opposite.
All right.
No,
what is it, real, not true?
That is not true.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Well, tied up.
Well, that's more of an assumption.
Yes.
I mean, it could be true.
It's how they feel, but it may not be true.
Yeah. Gerald also can't do math because we are not tied up. Those three
I'm
questions.
Doing Stephen math. We are all tied up.
Nope, Stephen's in the lead right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I'm in the lead. All right.
2-1. All right, number four. We got Taiwanese superstition holds that if students trim their nails during their final exams, they will end up with failing grades for their subjects.
No, that's a misinterpretation of Samson. It was hair.
100% true. Don't trim your nails.
The answer is true.
True.
No.
All tied
wow.
up.
Well, you know what? Maybe China should take them
yeah.
over.
All right, now we're all tied up.
Oh, no, I trimmed my nail. I mean, I'll get B+.
Yeah, that's why you failed.
It's a lot of
drinking
cat
the night before.
Yes.
All right, number five, Taiwan. Well,
those nails
was...
will come in handy when they're scratching at the prison door from the Chinese invasion.
There you go.
I feel like they're not drunks like frat boys here.
No, probably not.
They're doing sake shots all night.
They're not trimming
that's
their nails.
Their own culture.
Yeah. All right.
Well. All right, number five, Taiwan was traditionally known in the West as Formosa.
Gerald.
True.
True.
Well.
He said true. Are you awake?
We
both are you farming?
Oh, I didn't hear you. You said true?
I did say true.
Great, you guys both
no, he doesn't listen to me.
You guys did say it at the same time.
Oh, you very listened quickly, to me so yeah. little I should marry you. All right, let's go to the next.
His ear's bleeding.
Hey-oh.
That's it. That's six. Right?
Well, that was,
now
that
we got one more.
Oh, one more.
Okay,
yeah,
five.
One give it to us. Go.
So, final one. Snake Alley is a market in Taipei that serves unique delicacies such as snake blood, turtle blood, and deer penis wine.
Well, that just seems so odd that it must be true.
It is absolutely false. There is no such thing as deer penis wine.
I don't know. You don't know that? Even if this isn't true, you don't know that. Give us the answer.
All right. This answer also declares the winner. Because you guys are tied up. And it is Steven. That was true.
Oh, come on!
Gerald, I've seen you drinking deer penis wine.
Yeah, just he even identified the vintage.
Yeah, I've seen you taking it right from the tap.
Yeah,
I go, what's your favorite year? He goes, all of them.
Yes.
I was like, is this Carl? Carl?
He's like, what's the varietal? I just love it. That doesn't matter.
I know the deer.
Can't get enough of it. All right, that's been Taiwan Facts.
Oh, I love it every time I hear it.
Do you think we're still, what's the bet on, are we still on YouTube?
We just played their music. What do you mean?
We're right. still on YouTube.
All right. So there you go. So
I don't know if China minds us doing Taiwan.
No, we no, don't quote the CDC. Come
well,
on.
Don't worry. We're going to get to trashing China in just a minute because I don't know if you know this. I don't want to vilify an entire nation of people, but China's a horrible place.
Yes.
And it's a live show Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. Eastern. So we're on Rumble and we are on Mug Club. If you do not see us here on YouTube, I have no idea how long we'll be on YouTube. Of course, we're gone July taping some other things. We always have to take this break and rebuild the studio up. But unless we tell you we're not here, that means we're on Rumble or over there on Mug Club. So let me bring you some news here on Taiwan and China. And then Gerald is really passionate about it. So let me set this up. So Chairman Xi Jinping, you know who that is?
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, that guy.
Winnie the Pooh. Got
mm-hmm.
it.
Yep.
Now we're done.
I was just waiting to hear the sound of rockets. We're good. If there was a missile. So he just signed a decree that would allow for the deployment of Chinese troops for purposes other than war, as though it's new.
Yeah. As they needed a reason.
Tell that to all the Muslim Uyghurs. No, they're not using war powers.
No, it's different. Yeah,
they're totally flying different. Around.
When your everyday powers are just as heinous as your war powers, at this point we're splitting very straight black hairs, folks.
Yes.
So the media, the state media, Xinhua.
You cut to me.
So this new outline aims to, quote, protect people's, protect people's lives and property, safeguard national sovereignty, security, and develop interest and safeguard world peace and regional stability. Because when I think China, I think world peace.
Yeah, is this a beauty pageant? Yes. World peace.
Stability.
Right. Yeah. Stability. Yeah.
Like beating you.
Yes. Arresting you.
Why do you need a decree for this stuff? I'm not really sure.
That's a good question. Probably because they're lying.
Yeah.
They want us to not think that they're lying.
Well.
Sort of like John Cena.
Yeah.
I hate myself today. Do you realize this makes me depressed wearing this, that this is the current state of wrestling? So let me ask you this.
I gotta say, it looks good on you. I think this should be an everyday.
No.
Sorry.
Well, you know what, though? I can't believe that I'm only, like, there's only a 20-pound weight difference between me and John Cena. How is that possible? He looks like a different species.
He's 4'9".
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He's really short. That's why people can't see him. They look right
That's
over
That's why they love
he's
him
also,
in China.
Yeah, not juiced to the gills.
Yeah. No, of course not.
No, he's natural.
So let me ask you before we move into jail. What do you think that China means by safeguard world peace? I'm doing the half Asian accent. I'm safeguard. But I meant safeguard world peace. What do you think that actually, what is?
What's that sound?
What's that noise?
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that's it.
Well, Ang Lee, he's kind of known for one thing.
Yeah.
Gay cowboys.
Not time.
All right.
Yeah, he did make that movie.
It is time, though, for Gerald Knows Stuff. Now, let me set this up. You guys should go and watch. If we're on YouTube, we can put a card up here. Go and watch. Yeah. We did a very long form segment on Taiwan, on what a war between China and Taiwan would look like. It would have to take place during really one of 2 months during the year, why it would affect you, why it's different from Ukraine because of the chipsets, of course, which we're dependent upon Taiwan for. So
and screws. I had no idea.
Screws. Yeah.
Yes.
What are we going to do?
Deck screws. Gosh.
What are we going to pressure fit everything?
No.
Also, Gerald's intro, guys, if you're listening, Dear Penis Wine needs to be added.
Yeah, it does. It needs to be in there. Dear D-E-E-R.
No. Yes. No. Not Dear Penis Wine.
that's a nickname, but he'd be writing a letter to himself.
Instead of Dear Me country song, it's Dear Penis.
So
that's how he writes in his diary.
If you want the sort of geopolitical situation there, specifically as far as what that war would look like, how it affects you, why it's different from Ukraine, I would recommend you go and watch that. It was a very long, I think we did a whole show on it.
We did a debate on it as well about Ukraine. So,
about Ukraine. So this is a little bit different because of the new changes. I want to tell you something before Gerald goes in here. Mm-hmm. After seeing the Taiwanese train with airsoft guns because their own citizens aren't allowed to have assault weapons, I'm less pro protecting them. I'll get to that.
It did frustrate you.
It frustrated me beyond recognition. What does it take? What does it take? You are a nation, effectively, who are founded upon the idea that this other giant wants to wipe you out, and you still don't let your citizens have... Still don't let your citizens have military-style weapons. They should all be forced to train in them and have a couple in their closet. It should be like a Switzerland situation, you know, World War II with all their military-age men. But instead, unfortunately, this is one thing you guys need to get straight. Taiwan, okay, I understand. It's a much more important partnership for us than, for example, Ukraine. But if you think that, let's say, China were to try and wipe Taiwan off the face of the map, and everyone from Taiwan is going to come into the United States and they're going to be pro-America, you still will be looking at a demographic of people who want to be subjugated by their government. There is no spirit of rugged individualism, of individual liberty outside of the United States. So I'm under no ill-conceived notions that the Taiwanese are actually pro-America in the way that we would believe it to be. You don't allow your citizens the right to train with... If there is a nation that should be training with military-style assault weapons, let's use it. I mean assault rifles, actual military assault rifles, not AR-15s. I mean like actual M-16s.
Automatic, yeah.
Yes, M-16s, burst fires, or Gatling guns for all you know. They should be doing it. That gives you an idea. The left will never concede that territory. If Canada had the same population as the United States and they were trying to invade the USA, the left still wouldn't say, you know what, hey, maybe you should have the right to defend your house and home. There will never be a scenario under which they believe you have the right to defend yourself. For reference, see every other country in the history of the world. Okay.
Yeah. Well, and to be clear, in Taiwan, you can own a shotgun, a rifle, and a handgun. But we were talking, I was like, is there any other clear example in the world where you want to make sure everybody knows how to use assault weapons, if that, you know, that term military weapons, like let's get everybody tank training. How about that, right? Let's go as far as we can. But they see a lot of similarities, and we've talked about this, like you said, between the Russia invasion and not only the invasion of Ukraine and how the world responded to it, but what Russia did, specifically Vladimir Putin, in the lead up to that issuing this decree. And so I saw this on, I think, Monday is when it came out. And it went into effect yesterday, and I was like, this is a really weird way to frame this entire thing. Like, you release a decree that basically gives you power to go wherever you want and do whatever you want and say, oh, it's not a military operation. We're preserving world peace. We're defending citizens. We're taking care of our national sovereignty, right? And they still consider Taiwan a part of them, so that makes sense. So Eugene Kuo, an analyst with Taiwan's Institute for National Policy Research, said, I think it's definitely a copy of Putin's special operation language, and that was the decree that he issued, was it's not war, it's a special operation.
Yeah,
it's like, you didn't put any thought into this?
Right.
Like, what were you, like, 2 seconds before going on camera? What's the name? Special operation.
Okay, I'm not a warmonger, I'm a war stylist.
Exactly.
No big deal.
And continuing his quote, and after what happened in Ukraine, it sends a very threatening signal to Taiwan, Japan, and the surrounding countries in the South China Sea. So Kuo believes that Xi is trying to enhance gray zone activities, which is basically like saying we don't recognize international borders, international waters, right? We think that this is our territory. So it's like these are kind of acts of war that are not acts of war. And so they're kind of like pushing and poking the bear a little bit here. So that's what he's
We don't recognize them as international waters, but they are.
Ah,
well, no.
Everybody
and then
has
Biden says, "Oh, okay.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Oh, my bad."
It's like the Strait of Taiwan. It's like, hey, there's international waters here. I think usually every country, I think it's 12 miles out, right, that you can claim as kind of national waters. Outside of that, it's international waters. And they're like, no, we don't really play by everybody else's rule. So that's what he's talking about there. So they're worried, right? So Taiwan is also taking note of China's moves here, right, down a little bit down below there. So on Wednesday, Taiwan's foreign minister, Joseph Wu, spoke on China's increasing escalation. We have a little bit.
We have a clip. Yeah, that's right.
From what we see recently, China seems to be gearing up its military
surprisingly good English.
And I can give you some evidences of this.
He's also in Dr. Evil's lair.
In the first part of May, China has conducted naval exercises east of Taiwan for 2 weeks with its aircraft strike group, Liaoning. And they have also conducted air exercises around Taiwan, especially in southern part of our ADIZ. And in several occasions, they also crossed the medium line of the Taiwan Strait, which has been safeguarding status quo and peace and stability over this area for years. And moreover, their spokesperson for the PLA has spoken about the medium line of the Taiwan Strait does not exist because Taiwan is part of China. And very recently, their Ministry of Foreign Affairs spokesperson also talked about Taiwan as part of China, and therefore, the Taiwan Strait is not an international water. So if we put all this together, we see a very threatening China these days.
Here, before you move on really quickly, for those who are listening on audio, you saw that map where you just look at how huge huge China is.
Yeah,
how small Taiwan is. Yeah. Now, that being said, there's a reason that there hasn't been a land invasion, because of course China wants to take Taiwan. They've been saying it. There is something that they're scared of. And this, you can go to the previous show, video. It might be on Crowder Bits, but certainly the full show where we've talked about what that looks like, the mountainous terrain, how Taiwan is actually, you know, punching above their weight class. That being said, this should also give you an idea. When we're talking about the Second Amendment, you have people who will make these arguments going, oh, well, what, you think American gun owners have a chance against the United States military if it comes? Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. There are more guns in this country than there are citizens. The number, I don't know if it's between $350 million or over $400 million, depends on what the updated number is. And we have 300-something million people here in this country. 40-something percent of households own a firearm. You think about what's going on in Taiwan. I'll show you their airsoft training in a second, which is absolutely embarrassing and laughable. They should be ashamed of themselves. But in the United States, because we have you ever been to the South? Do you know the rednecks that we have here?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you're also assuming that when you look at, like, the military, they're here to protect the country,
right,
not the government from taking us over.
Right.
Like, the whole military would just go with them. No, it wouldn't happen.
I'm just saying that if they had in Taiwan what we have here, it would just be a bunch of AR-15 round casings and natty ice cans that would be sticking. Have you gone to, like, you go to the range on the weekend.
Yeah.
And they're you're like, that guy's drunk and he's hitting everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's hitting everything. You just have some 400-pound mother with an Uzi just in a Taco Bell bag. These people, yes, they could defend themselves against a land invasion. It certainly would help.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Crystal Burger AK.
Yes, exactly.
Well, no, you're 100% right with the numbers thing. Of course we would do better. I mean, what did Russia do? They basically gave their soldiers a gun. When the guy in front of you gets killed, they gave the guy behind him ammunition so that he could pick up the guy's gun that was killed, put the ammunition in, and continue fighting. That was literally what they did. I believe it was Stalingrad when they were defending it. I can't remember the name. But anyway, Monday, Taiwan has to respond, right? So Monday, this decree comes out, and it's obviously like aimed at Taiwan, even though they're not saying it is. And their legislative speaker, Yun Fong, came out and said that, and this isn't much of a like threat to them. We have missiles that are capable to attack a Beijing. And I'm like, that's like Texas saying they can hit Louisiana. That's not exactly technologically.
Maybe Texas should hit Louisiana.
Well, I'm just saying it's not like saying we're firing a missile.
Crawfish is ours, bitches.
Yeah. We don't want it.
I want the boudin.
Your etouffee, whatever the hell that is, and keep it.
Yeah.
No. Okay. So that's not much of a big, you know, threat.
Sorry, I love how much you hate being John Cena. Just your body language. It's like putting a Christmas sweater on a bull.
When I was a kid, you know, we had the Undertaker before he was just a biker. They say, hey, let's take an interesting character. We have the Undertaker.
My son's favorite ever.
Yeah, but back in the day, I mean, I guess they brought him back to that character. They said, let's just put everyone in jorts and t-shirts. Yeah. You think about the Ultimate Warrior. You think about Hulk Hogan. Yeah. You think about Goldust. You think about Triple H before he was Triple H when he's Hunter Hearst. There was buy-in. Yeah. This is just dressing like an asshole.
let's have a douchebag character that everybody will hate.
Like when you got in that, it's just your mood changed.
you became
and you're
angry.
Right. That's the thing. You're 100% right.
I can't get out of it fast enough.
Well,
I'm sorry. It's just so
I'd rather be dressed as a chick.
I honestly,
we could Bernie after
think,
the show.
I think this would be a better wrestler.
Bernie
just show up and hit you with late fees. Yeah, what?
Oh, jeez. I'd rather be Ang Lee's whatever you are over
makes
here.
Makes you use Bing.
Yeah, she's bringing out the book. Time to be quiet in her library.
Oh, jeez. All right, so look, the invasion of Ukraine has definitely got people in Taiwan kind of rethinking.
Your sidekick is just that little bent back paper clip from work. I'm sorry. Go
I
ahead.
Hate you, John.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I know you're really. I know you're
no,
really.
You're
you really care about
she
these people.
She just hit him with the Dewey Decimal System.
Round. I want you to give me pi, all the way to the 42nd digit. No.
Oh no.
All right.
This is somehow better
than John Cena. Yeah, look at these. Look at these. Look at these. Look. Hustle, loyalty, respect. That's his slogan.
Yeah.
It's reminding him to do
this. Because this makes him sweat so much.
Yeah. His slogan is Oprah's book club. It's just. God.
However, you can make more money. That's exactly what
he apologized.
Anyway, sorry.
All those useless muscles, and he's an absolute spineless pansy kowtowing to China because his overlords. This is the thing about this industry, guys. Let me tell you something before we go on with China. You wonder, doesn't this guy have FU money? Mm-hmm. My dad was just asking that. It's that you owe somebody something. Yeah. John Cena is owned by other people. And I don't mean there's some secret Bilderberg meeting, I mean that guy. Even if he does think that Taiwan has the right to exist, can't say it. That's when you wonder how can so many people in the entertainment industry get together and all have the same opinion? You would even think just by happenstance there might be some divergence. It's because you owe. You owe someone in the industry. And John Cena, pussy, go ahead.
You're absolutely right.
Well, so, I mean, obviously, this is one of the reasons that I care about it. It's because China is exerting force over the entire world right now. Because we've outsourced factories to them, we've kind of kowtowed to them because they're a big financial powerhouse, and now they're making threats against a country that should be independent in Taiwan. And Taiwan is making some, you know, they're having like a real come-to-Jesus moment here, knowing that this could happen really quickly, and they're
increasing their training with reservists
and everything else. So there's a quote from one of the reservists. Nearly every day, my commanders would remind the men that the threat from China was growing. It's like you needed to say that.
Yeah.
Ukraine showed
Don't let them own assault weapons, though.
Right. Don't let them train with the things they will actually need to defend their country. Ukraine showed us, another part of the quote, that you need to first show to others that you have the resolve to defend yourself. Only then will others come to your help. And that is true. And I appreciate that they understand that they have to stand and fight. This is not our country. You guys, if you're not willing to fight like we fought for our country, then why should we come over and help you guys? Because it's just going to be us doing it, leaving, and the same situation may be occurring again. So it doesn't really solve anything. Civilians, though, this is the favorite part for Mad John Cena over here. Civilians have also started participating in.
This makes me not want to help Taiwan.
Simulated.
I've almost done a 180 in my position. Show the clip. You'll see why. God.
First comment. Is that airsoft? No.
Yes.
Why is Casey shooting guns?
Yes.
Have to save ammo.
Yeah, that's who you want defending your country. A spindly sleeve tattoos and a Willard haircut. There's a reason. There's a reason they make you buzz cut here.
The 关系，对，那有确实的感觉到对岸的威胁，对，那。 所以才会想说，再进一步的去对这些防卫性的这些武器有一些认识，这样子。对，那在之前是对急救方面，在乌克兰战争发生之前是对急救方面比较有兴趣。
For those listening on audio, and by the way, you can subscribe on Apple and Android and Spotify, and I recommend you do. There's some content sometimes that you get there that you don't get here on YouTube or Rumble. They're talking about training up effectively as militia, reservists.
Right.
This should sort of answer a couple of questions for you. When people here argue, hey, what part of your ass is part of a regulated militia? Everyone. You see, those are just people. Here in the United States, people can get together and become any kind of a militia. The militia is the whole people. That's what Mason said. They were very, very clear. Militia, by the way, legally was defined as any able-bodied men capable of serving back then, capable of protecting their country. So you see this now, when push comes to shove, there you go. That's a militia. Those aren't people with military haircuts. Those are people with largely their own equipment in many cases, and they're using airsoft, which we all know is... Yeah, it's exactly the same as firing an actual weapon.
Yeah, except
stop shooting me.
In no way whatsoever. It doesn't even have like kick to it.
Right.
It's somehow they're moving.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's just because they're incredibly weak.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, I think you're absolutely right.
Recoil.
Yes.
Word.
Recoil.
Recoil.
It's too late in the game to be able to think that you need weapons as you're being attacked. Like, oh crap! I wish our citizens had weapons. Don't you think Ukrainians right now wish that every able-bodied man had military training to be able to defend themselves against Russia? They're doing a decent job. But it would have been much, much better.
And look at that. Look at Ukraine and Russia. Look at what happened with the Taliban, for crying out loud. Guess what? When you're fighting on your own terrain, when you know the locale where you'll be fighting, guess what? You have a huge advantage.
Yeah.
Think about the home court advantage in sports games. You don't think so in the hills of West Virginia? Louisiana and the swamps of Louisiana in Texas? These people who live here are going to know how to defend it better than people who've never set foot there are going to know how to attack it. That's absolutely true, not to mention the ability here to have incredible firearms, which we rightfully should. And I'm not being facetious. Mm-hmm. A part of me would like to see, if I were president, I would say, okay, Taiwan, talks are off the table. We will not help you protect you unless you allow every single citizen to have firearms. Oh, only shotguns. No. You allow them to have AR-15s. You allow them to have high-capacity semi-automatic rifles. You know, the kind of stuff that you would need them to use during wartime. Because don't come to us for protection. When you haven't maximized your own resources. And the most important resource, as it relates to any kind of amphibious war that we might see with Taiwan, again, you can go back to a previous, is going to be the citizens. And the citizens' ability, ergo, the militia, to protect themselves. I am so tired of the United States paying for the rest of the world and hearing the rest of the world bitch about how we pay for it. We're talking about Russia, Ukraine, Sweden. We want to be in NATO now? No! Hey, all I've heard you do is bitch about for years. Just talk down to the United States. If you had your socialized healthcare system, guess what? Pay for all of your socialized healthcare systems and pay for all of your social safety net bullshit, okay? Pay for all of it and back pay 2% of your GDP on military spending for NATO, you know, for the last 60 years. Then we'll consider it.
Yeah. While you were paying for healthcare, we were building a military.
Yes.
To make sure that we could defend our own country and also help out a number of nations throughout the last 60 years.
Right. And I think Taiwan is far more important than Ukraine. Yeah. I think that it would make sense for the United States to protect them. But you know what? They need to start. Back in the day, if we were to protect a country like Taiwan, protect a place like Taiwan, it would be, okay, now you speak our language and you pay taxes to us. You know, if we were a king, if we were a monarchy, you don't go in and help another nation because you're dependent on them for chipsets. It's, guess what? Your chipsets are ours now. We get a commission because, well, why? Because you wouldn't exist if not for us. So it would have been colonization, which everyone here, colonial, which everyone wants to bitch about. How do you think the world works? How do you think the world works? Throughout history, you think Genghis Khan was paying for other nations to take in refugees? He was making refugees and killing them on the way out.
Well, that was rude.
It was pretty rude.
I can't believe he did that.
Yeah, but he had a lot of kids.
He did. That's true.
Well, hopefully China
does. A lot of baby mamas.
Hopefully there's enough of a threat with the citizens of Taiwan, Japan, and the United States to keep China from invading. But here's the problem. As long as you have somebody weak in the White House who has shown an inability to act effectively, Ukraine and Russia, it just gives them the green light. They know they can probably take Japan. They know they can probably take Taiwan.
Right.
If we're involved, if the rest of the world is involved, that's a different story. The rest of the world needs to step up.
Needs to step up, and we need to disconnect ourselves from this idea of a global economy. We really do.
Especially if we can get bent over a barrel by China for it, because that's the reason people don't speak out. When you said they're owned, what happens right now if the NBA speaks out on China? What happens to revenue for movies if they speak out on China right now? What happens to Apple if they speak out? Nike, if they speak out? Just name every industry.
Right.
If they speak out on China, because we have said for years, we're just the ideas country, Yeah. What happens?
What happens to Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube if they don't throttle content that's anti-Chinese? Think about that for a second. One of their biggest emerging markets, right? China says, guess what? We're going to put a ban on your website. They don't want that. This is the problem. It doesn't require some crazy conspiracy theory, a meeting right behind closed doors, a cabal. It's just understanding the Chinese government, understanding how they censor, understanding how they pressure American businesses to kowtow to their policies, which, by the way, are gross violations of human rights. That's all it takes.
Yeah.
And that's why John Cena needs to get his ass kicked by, you know, someone who's actually in the someone who actually fights. Yeah. But of course, be sure to drug test me. This has been Gerald No Stuff. Anyway, it's good to see the Taiwanese preparing, but they could use better guns.
Well, either way, look, it's great that they're taking the threat seriously, at the very least.
Yes. What's
this is my studio now. This belongs to China. Oh, hi, John.
Oh, hey, hey, Ping.
How are you? I heard your shoulder not doing good.
Oh no, yeah, the last time we played golf. No, it's doing better. It's still tweaked.
I could send you an acupuncturist that could do a fire cupping for you.
What, fire?
Cupping.
Oh, fire cupping. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you know, if you have a guy that helped, thanks.
Anyway, this studio will belong to me now. You will give it to me.
Shut up. I'll take care of this. Ni hao, motherfucker.
Hey, Tai. He's a demigod. The bazooka doesn't work. Try the wall,
sir. Oh, right. Okay. Ni hao, motherfucker. Again.
Good. Yeah.
It
works.
You're all very welcome.
Good stuff. Yeah.
Nice job, Dave. Welcome.
Appreciate that, Dave.
And of course, Walther is the official firearm of the Lido Crowder Studios. We are protected here by Walther and Joe Lewis. And I do recommend you guys go check out the PDP. We don't have one here, actually. That was the old PPQ.
Yeah.
Because a PP, we might need them to send me like a prop PDP because it's my.
Sorry, I went like this. It's gone now.
Oh. Yeah, it's gone. Well, it's not gone. You just can't see it.
You're right.
Ah, yeah. It's same, right?
I'm a magician.
Yeah,
like
David
this.
Copperfield, like making an old Buick disappear.
It's
that's
still
all
there.
It takes. Someone let his Vegas budget know.
Oh, man.
So, this is one thing we're really happy for them to be a sponsor. The perfect sponsor for this show is a product that we all use anyway. Yeah, exactly. Then we reached out to them. They saw that we use them, and they have the balls to sponsor the show, which many of you may not know. A lot of firearm manufacturers out there don't do that. They actually do work alongside the gun control lobbyists because they want to eliminate competition. So you can visit waltherarms.com, use their dealer locator. All I recommend is, look, try it. If you're looking at purchasing a firearm, just try the Walther PDP. Run a Google, Bing, Ask Jeeves, Walther PDP review. See if you find a negative one. These are great. These are very well-kept secrets because they don't have the multi-billion, trillion-dollar advertising budget as some of these other companies.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Now there's a homeless Jeeves with an iPhone like, thank you.
No, he's got a flip phone.
Yes, that's true.
I got my Obama.
I don't know. Hold on. I have to type it in my razor.
Oh, I thought I was going to be something, Mom.
Okay, so while talking about China, and look, let me just be clear about something. People say, what's wrong with hating something? This is when people talk about hate speech. I hate China, not the people, the communist Chinese government that oppresses its people. So as a whole, I hate China. When people use the term hate speech, you're not supposed to hate people as Christians. You can hate evil, and China, the government of China, is evil. China's impact on the world is largely evil. So I won't be browbeaten. I don't want to hate speak. Well, they're jailing Muslims and arresting people for having Bibles. So you know what? I hate it.
I don't know, child slavery? Is that something you're not into?
That's actually not one of my primary qualms with China.
Oh, gotcha. They do make a...
I told you not speak for me anymore.
They do make everything John Cena wears.
Yes.
Do you want to pay $200 for Nikes? Do you, Dave?
No, you're right.
No, you're absolutely right.
They should only be $3 to make and $400 to buy.
Joke's on you. I shop at Payless.
$29.99.
10 years ago. Yeah.
I have Mikey's.
Yes. I bought everything when they went under.
Oh, they went under?
Yeah.
Where am I buying my shoes?
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
Oh, it's Dave's Payless. Yes.
Oh, that makes sense.
I bought an old Payless and didn't change the sign.
Right. I don't walk right for a week.
Those phones don't make themselves, guys. All right.
So speaking of which, and this is, we talked about this. I think she's a traitor when people talk about the idea of insurrection. I think this is treason. So remember Eileen Gu?
Oh, yeah. Gu. Bitch.
Yes, but she's attractive. So she was an American-born skier. Remember, she decided to ski for China in the Olympics.
Unbelievable.
Which, yeah, she was born in the United States. And this is the problem with identity politics, where it's just, no, it's not about your values. It's not about where you're actually born. It's about, you know, just your race or certain superficial features. We want to categorize you by that. So she decided to race for China as opposed to the United States. Mm-hmm. And here is what she had to say about that decision back then. Here's a refresher.
Born in San Francisco to an American father and a Chinese mother, Eileen announced in 2019 that she would ski for China at the Beijing Games.
The opportunity here for the sport to grow and to be one of those idols who really made me who I am as a skier, I know the impact that they had on me.
Yeah, so she decided, and she got a contract with Victoria's Secret.
Is the Chinese girl behind the white girl we just saw five pictures of?
I assume so.
Okay, just want to make sure.
Hiding behind a mogul.
Yeah.
Skiing on top of a nuclear reactor at the Beijing Games.
Oh, I love how we just pick the most oppressed part of you and you're that.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just, no, okay. Well, she picked the most oppressed part of her, but then decided to say, hey, I want to represent China. Really? Really? Well, here's the thing. She never spoke out against China and their gross abuses of human rights.
No.
She is hot. Now.
Yes.
I mean, I just wanted to throw that in there because it is relevant. I want you to see me as a credible witness. Because if I said she's ugly, then you'd be like, well, they just have to discount everything he says.
Well, it's true.
Yeah, it's true.
It doesn't mean she's smart.
No, she's very attractive. And
she's pretty good at skiing.
Treasonous.
Yes.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the kicker.
Send her to my jail.
She's back in the United States. You're Payless.
Yes.
Goo, as she's known. That's her nickname.
Goo.
That's her last name. She's back in the United States now, and she's decided that she's going to be an ambassador for Salt Lake City's Olympic bid. So now she's American again.
Oh.
The U.S. is going for the Winter Olympic Games in Salt Lake City in 2030, trying to get that host. If the Olympics are in the U.S. in 2030, any chance you switch to our side?
It's funny that you mentioned that because I am actually an ambassador for the Salt Lake City 2030 Olympic bid. And I think that that's this beautiful example of globalism and
bid yourself a soul
that we can use skiing
globalism.
And we can use sport and
beautiful.
We can use winter sport to connect people. It's about Salt Lake specifically wants to become a global destination for athletes everywhere to come train there. And they want to incorporate 15 new countries into the Winter Olympics. And I think that's something that's really beautiful. And I've always stood
for that. Incorporate you into the asphalt.
And so I'm really honored to be a part of the whole thing. And we'll see if it goes ahead.
Now, this is all figurative, of course.
Yeah.
Does she know?
Why is she allowed to be an ambassador for the United States for anything?
Yeah.
Think about that for a second. We went from, and by the way, this whole idea that we've always been this incredibly racist nation, even before the Civil Rights Act, think about World War II, was about to go into the war front, was supposed to be the Eastern Front. Joe Louis, the most beloved athlete in all the United States, and he was fighting Max Schmeling, who was basically sort of made a de facto representative of the Nazis. This was a huge fight. Think about it. I've talked about this before in the past, but for people who don't know, let me give you a little bit of a history lesson, okay? Joe Louis had the biggest fights, the biggest sporting events that had ever taken place was black in the 1930s and the 1940s, okay? Yeah. He was beloved by the United States. Doesn't mean that there aren't individual racists. I highly recommend Joe Louis's biography. It's incredibly fascinating. It shows you the kind of racism that he encountered in Detroit versus...
Yeah, you gave it to me. It's a really good read.
Talked about how he wasn't referred to as the N-word until he moved to Detroit.
Yep.
He also was proud to fight for his country, unlike Muhammad Ali, and instead, after he won this fight with Max Schmeling, they decided to make him more of an ambassador for morale for the troops, which makes sense. And then afterwards, it's also a great lesson in how the tax man decides to rape you, because Joe Louis did a bunch of exhibition fights to raise money for, I believe it was the troops, for charity, and instead they decided they had to pay taxes on it, so we had to return from retirement. So this is what happens with wartime heroes. They're never really appreciated, just like Winston Churchill was ousted within 2 years because, hey, he fought off the Nazis. He didn't want to support socialized healthcare. But I want to give you this context. Eileen Gu decides to abandon her country to be a traitor, a treasonous traitor. Then she decides to ski for China, and now she's ambassador of the United States. Joe Lewis, a black American, beloved, was fighting a guy named Max Schmeling, if you don't know this. Let's have them pull this clip for Mug Club later on. I don't know if they have the first fight. It might have been before it,
really
it was televised.
It really is an extraordinary story what he did.
It really is,
yeah.
So Joe Lewis, undefeated, okay, at this point in his career. He's about to go to Europe, World War II. And he's fighting the only guy to have beaten him, a guy named Max Schmeling. Knocked him out. Joe Lewis hadn't lost any other fights except for a guy named Max Schmeling, who is now the representative of the Aryan race. So people know about Jesse Owens. They don't know about Joe Lewis versus Max Schmeling. A lot of people don't anyways. So he's about to go into World War II. He's been drafted. Hitler's saying, look, we're going to show our racial superiority with Max Schmeling versus your American, and he didn't say black guy back then. He said American Negro. We're going to show how much better we are. The Americans rallied behind Joe Lewis. There was so much pressure on this guy as the representative of his country. The president called him and said, you got to win this, man. I don't think there's ever been a more consequential moment in sports history. But can you imagine if Joe Lewis just said, oh, you know what? I'm going to go fight for China. I'm going to go fight for Germany and then come back. Yeah. And then come back. He would have been absolutely excoriated, rejected by the American public.
Well, and the argument that she's making is she's like, I wanted to be an idol for young girls over there to be able to. How about being a spokesperson?
They don't have young girls. They drown them in bathtubs.
Yes, exactly. Right. For their one China policy that they had. I know they've moved on from that a little bit late. But they wouldn't have even had the chance to ski over there.
No.
She was taking advantage of the United States, all of the training facilities, everything, and then she left.
And by the way, if they're skiers in China, they don't get to pick it. It's when they're born. They go, oh, you have good joint structure. You're a gymnast. You work in coal mine. You a skier. You don't have a choice.
Yeah.
But even then, a country that was, you know, arguably much harder on a race than... He wouldn't have crossed Joe Lewis's mind.
No.
No.
Never would have.
That's the difference. And, you know... And you're right, it is the most pivotal moment in sports history because it made Hitler go, Am I wrong? Is this all?
Am I wrong? Was Schmeling just a pussy boy?
Oh, we just so rough.
Oh, and by the way, you should know Joe Lewis won that fight, knocked out Max Schmeling, I believe, in the first round, cold with a strong right hand.
Well, and imagine summarily the pressure shot.
There's no bigger pressure.
No.
You're fighting the Nazis with your fist. Yeah. It's insane. It's amazing.
And now we have someone who wants to ski for China because she can get a Victoria's Secret catalog. By the way, Chinese women don't need you as an inspiration. Do you know what their inspiration is to be skiers? Their government kills their family if they don't ski.
Yeah.
It's chosen for them. This is just how tone deaf and yes, primarily white Eileen Gu is. You think of in the United States, because women have choices, you want to inspire young women, not just to make the choice to be a skier, but inspire them hopefully to be disciplined, to do the hard work when nobody's paying attention after the excitement is worn off. You don't need to inspire that in China. They have no choice. They get punished. They get their rights removed from them, and their families are punished if they don't ski for the country.
Yeah.
That's why it's 99% perspiration, 1% death threats against your family.
Yep.
Yeah, well, those death threats, they carry a lot of weight. The thing that she could have done was inspire people to be free.
Yeah.
To have a government that allowed them to make these choices in their life. Like you were saying, this is just forced. And I think I don't know that I believe this, because this is the first time, and we covered this story when it came out. This is the first time that she said this. This is the first time that I've heard her say this. Maybe let me be a little bit more clear, that this is what she was wanting to do. We looked at it, and it was like, she's going to get millions and millions and millions of dollars, and China doesn't have dual citizenship.
No, they
didn't. You're either Chinese citizen or you're not.
Right.
I don't know how she's not a Chinese citizen right now.
Why is she allowed back? There. Why did we accept her? I assume that if she's going to be an ambassador for the Salt Lake City?
Salt Lake City.
For the Salt Lake City.
For the United States.
Why is she allowed to be back? She would walk in like, oh, yeah. Let me take you to the, we have a yen room. Eileen Gu, it's filled with yen. She just goes in and like, oh, no, it's just the Abu Ghraib. As soon as she goes in, a hood and a German shepherd barking at her. Did we say yen room? We meant Abu Ghraib. We're sorry.
Whoops.
And this is a weird experience.
It's the Vietnamese
weekend.
Dong room.
Yes.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Hope you like torture.
Unbelievable.
Instead, we accept them back. Yeah. We accept these people back who rejected their country and then want to come back for the milk and honey that they rejected.
To promote globalism.
Yeah, to promote globalism.
Because that's a good idea.
That's the creepiest part about it.
Do you want to know what globalism is? Okay, when she talks about it, and this is a very clear-cut example, right? So seldom do you have people this blissfully unaware of themselves and stupid. So she's saying globalism. She's talking about China.
It's
because
beautiful.
She's out for her own self-interest. Yeah. Globalism is having someone right next to you with festering leprosy sores and saying, yeah, I want to link arms with that. Do you want leprosy? Or do you not? Well, one's globalism and one says, you know what? We don't want to link arms with countries that don't share our values and kill their own citizens.
Yeah.
And commit. How can you talk about the United States being flawed, which we are as it relates to human rights or our history, and say, I think globalism is a beautiful thing? Hold on. Are you still bitching about slavery centuries ago here? You know they still have slaves there, right? You know that? I don't want to hear you bitching about shit that we did 100 years ago or 200 years ago as you profit off of modern indentured servitude. I'm so tired of this shit. I hate China, okay? I hate Sweden. I hate John Cena.
With a burning passion now.
The character.
Right.
Figuratively. Literally.
Literally, yes.
But we were curious about what the Chinese thought regarding Eileen Gu, and so we actually did send, we have more budget here at Ladder with Crowder, as you can see by the dynamic outfit. We sent our Street Beats crew to Xinjiang to find out.
Hello. How do you feel about Eileen Gu going to America?
What?
Yeah, you can just go to America.
You can just... I could just leave China and go to America? Is that... No. No, Eileen Gu is a white devil, number one traitor in all of China. She is not welcome in Xinjiang, and she's really not that hot anyway, so I don't even care. I hate her. I hate her. Eileen...
Dupont, take me with you!
No.
He tried.
All right.
Yeah.
He did.
I guess it's the ginger's a recessive gene, even with the Asians. By the way, share the show right now if you're watching here on YouTube. You can share this. It apparently helps with the YouTube algorithm now. They want you to share because they want everyone to go to YouTube.
Right.
They want more people on site for, you know, all of these shows that YouTube you don't make money off of.
And then they ban you.
Yes, and they ban us. And you can smash the like button as well, too. All these things just help. And you know what? That's all you got to do. If you don't join Mug Club, just, you know, go click. It doesn't burn that much. So, let's. We were going to talk about the border crisis. We don't have a lot of time. Let's talk about the housing market. Not just that, but of course that the Fed, you know, raised their interest rates. Well, but this, of course, impacts the housing market. I want to hear from you. What do you expect? You can comment below. What you expect to happen here with the housing market? Do you expect a crash? We'll get into why I think there's going to be a correction, but. It won't be exactly like 2008 because 2008 was unprecedented and what we are dealing with now is unprecedented. But the commonality is they both share government manipulation, artificial either suppression or inflation of markets. The government never gets it right.
Yeah.
So we're going to see this come to a screeching halt. I don't know exactly what it looks like, but you can hold me to this. I said it earlier. I'm willing to. If you're looking to buy a house, I'd wait till, late summer. You're going to see a significant change in price.
Mid-2050.
Yes, mid-2050.
Just rent until then.
Let's. We have a clip that the Fed, of course, if you don't know, they just raised the interest rates by, was it 0.75?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
0.75% last night.
The current picture is plain to see.
Is it?
The labor market is extremely tight.
Jay Powell.
And inflation is much too high.
Ah, genius.
Against this backdrop... Today, the Federal Open Market Committee raised its policy interest rate by 0.75 percentage point and anticipates that ongoing increases in that rate will be appropriate.
So that's the biggest rate raised since 1994.
Yeah.
And I think that makes the current rate about 1.5%. And some people are actually projecting a 3% interest rate. Now, just up to a 3% rate. Now, just to be clear, I know mortgage rates aren't just, I'm not saying that the Fed rate is a mortgage rate, but this does affect the way banks, the way everybody is able to get loans. So it does affect all of these issues, particularly your relationship with your bank. And of course, we've seen mortgage. I think the mortgage rates, is it above? I know it's above six. Are we at seven yet?
It's above six. I mean, this just happened yesterday. So that rate is going to continue to go up.
Yeah,
so we're probably approaching 7% right now.
And Trump,
right.
It was around three.
I think about two and a half.
Yeah. Very low. This is very low.
In that range.
Now, keep in mind, though, I will say this. This is unpopular. These interest rates should have been higher on home mortgages for a much longer period.
Probably a little bit higher, yeah.
Yeah. Look, this is artificially keeping these rates low, which is what people got used to. That isn't necessarily a good thing. And the reason that they're raising these rates now is because they say, oh, this is a problem with inflation. Well, let me explain that briefly. Let me just use the housing market as an example. Of course, this affects a lot of issues, but the housing market is an example.
Yeah.
What do you think happens when you keep rates artificially low, right? You keep them down at 2%, for example. What happens is you have a bunch of people purchasing homes that they can't actually afford, they can't actually live in, right? At that point, it's almost like, well, cash is cheap. I'm going to purchase this home. It's a no-brainer at that point, as opposed to when the rates should be actually reflective of the market, which I think we probably should have been for quite a while, 6-7%, assuming you actually get 20 or 30% down. Well, guess what? We wouldn't have the exact same supply issue that we have now. So it's going to change, because I'll get into the supply issues that are taking place and how you're seeing the housing market change. But a lot of people don't understand these rates have been kept artificially low for a significant period of time. Same thing. This is why you were getting what? If you kept it in savings at the bank, and we're like, hey, you want to put it in our savings account? Oh, what kind of interest do I get? Well, I don't know. How familiar are you with pi? It's 1/10 of that.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, they're terrible. Like, for every $100,000, you get $3 a year.
Yes.
Is that good?
Yes.
I'm not even kidding.
Minus our fees, you owe us $18.
Yeah, pretty good. Here you go.
The thing I hate about these guys is that they always act like they're the smartest people out there, that they are able to manage the market like nobody else. Their stated goal, and I know we're going to talk about it in a minute, but it's 2% inflation, and we've been well above that for a long time. For him to come out and go, inflation is high, it's like, yes. It has been for a long time, and you've done nothing. You've done absolutely nothing, and Congress has done nothing to stop it. You've printed more money. You've kept rates artificially low. You know what happens when the rates on tuition are kept low because it's a government-backed program? More people go to college, and tuition skyrockets. We know that this happens in every industry that you do it. Why would you expect something different in housing?
Right.
Which caused the last depression-ish moment.
This, I think, in my opinion, this may be worse, because a lot of people have been buying homes where they've way overbid. We're talking about $50,000, $100,000, waiving all kinds of, what do you call it, the inspections, everything.
Yeah.
So now you have that. The housing value has nowhere to go but down. You have to refinance. You can't because of the rate difference. So now you lose your house. Who's there to scoop it up? Companies that want to buy it to make a renter's class.
And that's exactly what we're showing. So this is what's different from 2008. So 2008, the housing market. Look, and this is also what I love. Did you see The Big Short?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's a great film. But they also don't tell you a portion of it. And this is why we do the change my mind. I hope that this encourages you how to think. Not what to think, but how to think. That's why I make all the references available. LideWithCrowder.com. You can see the link, I think, in the description. I think we're putting it on YouTube. You go to LideWithCrowder.com, you'll see references for every single show. In 2008, what we were struggling with, and they didn't tell you about this in The Big Short, they just go, predatory lending.
Right.
Yeah.
Wait. What's predatory? Hold on a second. Let's walk through this. How do lenders, banks, how do they make money? By people paying it back. Uh-huh. And they pay it back with interest. Okay, that's how they make money. Right. What's predatory lending? You're lending to people who you know can't pay you back. Well, that's retarded. That doesn't make any sense. But they're insured by the government. Ah. If people can't pay it back, the government pays it back. Not to mention in the form of bailouts when you're too big to fail, which is exactly what we've deemed organizations like BlackRock, I think Vanguard as well. So what you had was people saying, oh, the rates are low, and I don't have to put any money down because the government said we need equal opportunity in housing. So, I'll get a $500,000 house giving you zero down at 2%. Then, all of a sudden, we hit a recession. These people are living well beyond their means, and there was a record number of defaults, right, foreclosures. That's what happened in 2008.
Yeah.
A
little bit different now, but it's the same cast of characters, right? The Fed coming in and saying, hey, we're going to help you out. They wrote a book about Alan Greenspan calling him the maestro, right? And saying, oh, man, he was just playing the markets and the economy. He was the guy who led to those policies. He was the guy that led to that kind of lending because of how he handled the rates that led us to 2008. And they're like, oh, well, maybe
Barney Frank's underground brothel didn't help.
No.
Well, and in 2008, a lot of areas were, going for double what they were actually worth. And you're seeing that now.
Right. Now, here's
getting very close to it.
Right. And here's what you're seeing now. You are seeing a record number of people have purchased homes. Now, these prices have been going up for a few reasons, okay? You have people who've been paid to not work effectively, right? You have people who've just gone out, the rates have been incredibly low. And yes, you combine that with actual wage growth that we saw under Donald Trump. So you saw actual wage growth more than ever in modern American history. And unfortunately, Americans don't say, okay, we've seen an average of, I think it was $5,000 in average salary wage growth for the average American. I don't know if that was a median or the mean. We'll get the reference up. Yeah. I always forget. But it was about $5,000 in 3 years, whereas Barack Obama, I believe it was $1,000 over the course of 8 years. So they see, okay, real wage growth. Now, they don't say, let me be responsible. Let me take that and use that appropriately. Too many Americans say, oh, that allows me to spend like I got a $10,000 or $20,000 increase.
Yeah.
They bought homes that they couldn't afford. And now, guess what? We don't really have, despite them saying we have a very powerful, we have the most robust. I love how the Fed and Jean-Pierre didn't actually get their their talking points together.
No.
So this is the most robust economy and job market ever. And the Fed's like, oh, we have a problem with people in homes and we have a problem with inflation. We better do something. Well, hold on a second. Yeah. You guys, hold on. The White House said that inflation was a good thing. So they can't even keep their story straight. But now you have people who are very likely to become unemployed. And they're going to have to start selling these homes because they're stretched too thin. Now, let me give you a couple of numbers here that are significant. So the total unsold inventory of new houses, and what that means is how many houses are on the market that haven't been purchased yet, right? Spiked from March to April by 447,000 available homes. That's the highest month-to-month jump since May 2008.
Yeah, same deal.
Oh, boy.
So March to April, boom, all of a sudden an explosion. Like the big shitty debt bang of homes now available, right? You were saying everyone's bidding over value?
Oh, big time.
That just changed. Right. Not in every municipality, but across, that is a huge, since May 2008. Now, here's something else that people have tried to present to you. They've tried to say, oh, actually, it's a supply issue. It's a supply issue as it relates to homes. There aren't enough homes for people. Well, that's not true because we actually have we have a very high ratio of homes in this country compared to people who live here.
Yeah.
Compared to, let's say, the 1950s, compared to, let's say, the 1960s, 70s, 80s, right? I don't know if it's the record number highest, but certainly close. It's not a supply issue.
Yeah.
It's about people being encouraged to overbuy irresponsibly issue. And it's also an issue of BlackRock, Vanguard, too big to fail organizations, buying up homes left and right.
Yeah.
So that is kind of the intangible.
Is a big problem.
Yes. Yeah. That's kind of the intangible here, just to be clear. We may not see a full correction if BlackRock, these big groups who want you to never own a home ever, just to be clear.
Yeah.
They're not looking out for you, just like John Cena's not looking out for you. But what may cause a crash is, let's say you're Vanguard, let's say you're BlackRock. And you see, you know, the stock market doing so poorly, and you go, well, hold on a second, real estate may not be the best investment. They may decide to migrate some of their investments, let's say, into, I don't know,
safer vehicles,
fixed incomes, whatever it could be, municipal bond, I have no idea. But they might just say, it's time to buy low in the market, as opposed to looking at homes right now, this could be a problem. So if they decide to jump ship, then you would be looking at a crash that would make 2008 look like child's play. I don't think we'll fully see that.
Yeah.
But you will see a correction and people saying, well, I really think I deserve my home. Did you put 20, 30% down? No, then you don't.
Yeah, sometimes it puts you in a really bad position when you just go, oh, I can put 0% down on this thing and I can get in here and I can barely make the payment. But what we really have a problem with right now is the Fed thinking that they are smarter than the market.
Right.
They are the ones turning the dials in each direction going, oh, I'm correcting here. And it's really the federal government as well, right? So it doesn't just stop there. It's Joe Biden, it's Treasury, all that stuff yelling. They keep turning the dials and go, oh, no, we're correct here. Oh, my God, we created a problem over here. We got to correct here. And oh, my God. Now they're thinking like, well, now we're screwed, right? And so people are wondering, okay, they raise the interest rate. How does that affect me? We're about to tell you how it affects you.
Well,
it's massive.
Well, and mathematically, you put 30% down on something that doubled. Now it's worth half, so you've technically put 15% down on the original price.
Right.
You're screwed.
Well, actually, I have those. So let's play this conservatively, actually, to use your point, to use some numbers. Let's say under Trump, you had a $350,000 home at a 2.5% rate. Your mortgage would have been somewhere around $1,300, $1,400 a month, I think. Yep. Oh, that's right. I have it down here. I didn't realize I should just read what I wrote.
$1,383
a month, $1,383 a month. That exact same home under Biden at a 7% rate, which is about where we are right now, would be $2,329 per month. That's almost a $1,000 per month difference.
Yeah.
So you're now buying a lot less house than you could have under Donald Trump. One thing, too, I want to make clear is I think we need to change this language from they're raising the rates to they can no longer afford to artificially keep rates low.
Right. Yeah, no, that's a better way of looking at it.
That's very true.
And put inflation on top of that, and homes, people are spending $350 to $400 more per month. So just with inflation and what the Fed is doing right now and the interest rates that you're seeing, each family is spending $1,300 to $1,400 per month more
with no wage growth.
Joe Biden heading into a recession.
Yeah.
How does that sound?
Right.
How does that sound heading into the midterms, heading into the election in 2024? This guy's been at the wheel when he should have had one of the best economic stories because the country was opening back up, the world was opening back up. He's been at the wheel less than 2 years, and he's already screwed everything up.
This is the worst president, not only in my lifetime, but I asked in his lifetime, too. He said it makes Carter look like child.
I was about to say, yeah, Carter's like, oh, thank God for Joe Biden. Now I'm not the worst.
So keep an eye. I don't think that we're going to have a complete food shortage here in the United States, but I will tell you this. Prepare for certain goods to not be available on the shelves. I think what we'll probably run into is, look, if you're not really scraping by for groceries, if you're, let's say you're living below your means, you'll probably be fine. But for people who can't afford the increase that's coming, it could be catastrophic. And I think maybe 1 week you might have a tough time getting beef. The next week you might have a tough time getting chicken. So I'm not saying it's going to look like Soviet Russia. But if you combine the fact that people are spending well over $1,000 more, right, if you're looking at people trying to get into a home right now at home, and then you look at inflation, which is, by their metrics, well over 8%, that's a scary thing. That's a scary thing right now. Then you look at supply shortages. You look at gas prices that people are paying. So, yeah, we are going to see a recession. We know that. And I try to not be a doomsday theorist. That's why I've always said you should be prepared for the worst case scenario. But it's usually not as bad as a lot of AM radio hosts want to tell you.
Right.
But I don't want you looking back saying, I couldn't have possibly known that things were going to get a little tight. They're definitely going to get a little tight. Be prepared for it. Be prepared to buy low. More millionaires are made during depressions, recessions than at any other point in history. So, tighten your belt. Be responsible now. Hopefully you have been responsible up until this point, not living high on the hog like the rest of these Americans who've overspent and been encouraged to do so by the government. And if you didn't do it, take this as a learning lesson and do it next time, because the market always ends up correcting itself. Unfortunately, it doesn't correct itself nearly as quickly as it has to when the government decides, no, wait, hold on a second. That's the market correcting itself. That's not fair. Black people don't have enough homes. Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac. Yeah. Frank Dot.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So, that's not fair. We need to make sure that banks start doing more predatory lending, which is a term that only a retarded person could use. I'm sorry, spaz.
Yes, that's better.
That's so much better. Oh, and by the way, the stock market is below 30,000 right now, down over 700
points.
Well,
that's
cute. So, you know, hey, Joe Biden, they're taking away all those plaques that Donald Trump had for every time he got the stock market up another 1,000. They're repoing those right now. So.
Yes, when you want to dig into your retirement to pay off part of your house, you're going to go, it's not there.
Right.
Where'd it go?
By George.
Again, because this government is so smart. Are you listening?
No more plaques.
Learning
and by the way, Biden, shut your mouth because we can see your plaque. Hey, tomorrow in Grand Junction, Colorado, Dave Landau's going to be there, and we'll both be in Colorado Springs this Saturday.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know that there are any tickets left for sale online. If there are, there are very few, but we've made some walk-ups available. So if you're in Colorado Springs, get there in the morning. Just to be clear, we're going to go announce the winner of the costume contest.
Yeah.
YouTube, you don't like these costumes. And you know what? I don't blame you. So let's just say that I've been banned right now for this outfit, because I would take that one right on the chin and ask for another. You're too pissed off.